Jesus and anything this old world calls today. Favorites. Well, good morning, everybody. TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or thank goodness it's Friday. How's everybody doing? This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio Network. Welcome to Billy Graham Fridays, today being April the 29th, 2022. James Brown, kick it off for us. Hope everybody's doing well. We got to have that James Brown in there, don't we? That's right. Again, I hope everybody's doing well on a Friday. Again, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or thank goodness it's Friday. And yes, we're kind of changing it up a little bit. We're going to be playing sometimes on Billy Graham music. We're going to be playing either Cliff Barrels or Bev Shea. So those are the legends. And I just felt it in my heart to want to do that, and I've had a lot of requests. And so I just think that that's awesome. And anyway, so that's the latest scoop on that. Now, in here in just a few minutes, we're going to be doing the coffee song. But before we get started on the coffee song, I want to remind you, if you have any prayer requests, questions, comments, or hey, you even got a suggestion for me, email me here at beautiful downtown Fort Worth, the iHeartRadio studio, we call it. And that is what it's called here at the up top the tower. My email address is morningsbrew@gmail.com. Again, morningsbrew@gmail.com. Also, like me on my Facebook page, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Like me on there. Okay? And when you do, if you need to send me a text on a prayer request or you need to contact me directly, my number is on there. Okay? Under station information. Click on info. You'll catch me there, and I'll get back with you just as soon as I can. Or send me a text. Give me your name, your state, whether you got saved, you got blessed, prayer requests, praise reports. That's what I love to hear. Let's go ahead and kick it off. Now, before I do, on Billy Graham Fridays, we're going to play the coffee song, and we're going to play another Bev Shea. And then Billy Graham on Mars Hill back in 1985, a crusade that he did, okay? So here we go. John Waller, love about a good cup of coffee, and Jesus in the morning. Amen. That was Cliff Burrell's Great Is Thy Faithfulness. You can only hear that exclusively and only on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. Good morning, everybody. Billy Graham Fridays. Billy Graham fixing to come up here in just a moment. Again, if you have any prayer requests, questions, comments, suggestions, email me here at Faith Studio One, the tower, up top the tower, the iHeartRadio studio, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com, or go to my Facebook page, click on station information. You can send me a text or you can call me directly and I'll be more glad to answer anything I can for you. Okay, so we're going to go back and backdate this because we want to make you really feel like you're in this crusade. So I am going to go back to the year of 1985 up in Connecticut, Billy Graham and Mars Hill. Enjoy.
The 17th chapter of the book of Acts is one of the great chapters in all the Bible. It has to do with the Apostle Paul and Silas, and as they're going up and down the country preaching. And Paul was waiting for his friends in Athens. And it says now in the 16th verse, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city given wholly to idolatry. And then it tells the story that I'll tell as we go along. Now the Greeks were true intellectuals. Their language was unmatched anywhere in the world. They had a niche for every god in the world. They were very religious, it says here. A little bit later in the 22nd verse, Paul said, I perceive in all things that you're superstitious. That word superstitious should be translated religious. And in case they had missed a god that they hadn't heard about, they had one altar to the unknown god. Now, Paul took a walk through the streets of Athens. He saw the moral corruption. He saw the hundreds of idols. And he began to debate and argue and speak about the resurrection of Christ. Now, this was something new. They had never heard about the resurrection of somebody. They believed in some sort of future life. Many of them did, but talking about the resurrection of somebody, they didn't believe that. So he went up to Mars Hill and he went up to the Areopagus, and you would have to be a student of Greek, and you'd have to go to Athens today to see what that meant. Areopagus was a hill, and sitting on that hill was the Parthenon, and on the Parthenon was the great statue to the temple and the temple of Diana, the great goddess of the Greek, the one that was the god above all gods, and Zeus. And they said to themselves, some of these philosophers began to talk among themselves, said, who is this guy, this Jewish fellow, that's walking around town talking about the resurrection? And so they called Paul and they said, we want you to tell us what you mean. And he had found his text to the unknown God. And he said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you're very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also the altar to the inscription to the unknown God. I want to talk to you about that God that's unknown to you. And he begins the speech with a sentence that I think is one of the greatest to be found in all of literature. In one sentence, he helps bring all the pieces of life's puzzles together. He said, quote, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by man. Man is a religious creature. Man is a worshiping creature. He believes in a God or gods. But in one sentence, the Apostle Paul brings everything together. And it fell like a bombshell. Paul dared to challenge the Parthenon with its great statue of Athena. And then Paul went on to tell them about Jesus Christ. Look at the people that you know today, that you work with, that you live in your neighborhood. People who are trying to get the pieces of the puzzle of life together. Do you know people like that? They're trying to get their act together, and they just haven't made it. They've tried to do it without God. Let me tell you today, before you leave here, Jesus Christ can give you purpose and meaning in your life. And then there were the searches in Paul's audience, serious searches after truth. They wanted to know the truth, and they were serious about it. And so the Apostle Paul started his talk. And he started out by saying there's one true God. He is the Creator, He's holy, He's unchangeable, and He's a God of love. He loves you. Think of it, God can love. No matter who you are, what you are, what you've done, or what you've been, God loves you. And if you forget everything else that's said during this week, remember one thing, God is interested in you, you are important to God, and God loves you. And God is willing to forgive everything you've ever done wrong and start all over again and give you eternal life and give you a new hope and give you a power and a peace in your life that you never had before. He can give you a power to overcome those problems in your home, in your business, in your personal life. The one true God. Now, many of you here today, most of you today will acknowledge God. Most of you go to church that are here this afternoon, I would imagine. I believe that most of the people here probably would be from churches. But deep down in your heart, you don't really know God. You believe in Him with your head, but He's unknown to you as a person that lives within, that you can pray to and talk to and helps you in your daily life. That kind of a God is unknown to you. Now, it also says that He hath made of one blood all nations. The Athenians were proud. They thought no one was superior to them. God says that all are made from the same blood. This past week, we had a wonderful time at the food bank and then a soup kitchen and met people of different ethnic backgrounds during the whole week. And it's been a marvelous experience. And I thought to myself, we are made from the same blood by the same God. And we ought to be acting as brothers and sisters toward each other. We're made by the same God, made in His image. Now, Paul also said God is not far away. They thought that God was not interested in them. God isn't sitting on a cloud somewhere. He's not on some distant planet. He's everywhere. He's a spirit, so He can be everywhere at the same time. He can be here, He can be in China, He can be in Russia at the same time. And God is here today. He's near to you. And He knows all about you as though you were the only person in the whole world. And then the Apostle Paul said another thing. He said, God commands. God gives a command to the whole human race. God now commanded all men everywhere to do what? Repent. God commands the Africans, the Indians, the Latins, the Americans, the Europeans, the Islanders. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because we're all sinners. What does the word sin mean? It means that you've broken the moral law of God. The moral law is expressed in the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments. And it's expressed by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus said, if you commit a murder, you can commit it in your heart by having hate in your heart toward another person. He said, that's murder. Or he said, you can have lust in your heart, and that's adultery. And we're all guilty. We're all sinners, he said. We're all in the same boat, and the boat is sinking. So he commands us to repent. And the word repent means to change. Change your mind. Change your way of living. Turn around. You're going this way. Turn and go the other way in your life. That's what repentance means. And God commands it. And if you don't do it, you'll never receive eternal life. You'll never receive forgiveness of sin. You'll never receive his peace. You'll never go to heaven. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever really repented? And then he talks about judgment. He says, why do you have to repent? Because he hath appointed a day. Notice a day is already set. The date is set. In which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. There's a day of judgment coming in which you will stand before Almighty God, and he knows all about your life, and no excuse will work there. Modern man does not like to think of God in terms of wrath and anger and judgment. He likes to fashion God after his own preferences and give God the characteristics he wants him to possess. We try to remake God to conform to our wishful thinking. We try to make ourselves comfortable in our sins. That is idolatry. Jesus said in Matthew 12, every idle word that men shall speak. Notice, every idle word that men shall speak, they will give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, every thought that you've ever had, every motive, every intent will be brought before God at the day of judgment, and you will be held accountable, and you'll be there unless you come to Christ and really know him. There is a greater judgment than the judgment you're going to face, and that's the judgment that's already passed. Because you see, the cross of Christ was a judgment. The scripture says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When Christ died on the cross, he was judged in your place. You and I deserve judgment and hell because we've broken God's laws. But Jesus stepped out, and because he was the Son of God, he took our judgment and our hell on that cross. He had the capacity to die in your place, to take the judgment in for you and for me. The scripture teaches there is therefore now no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 53, written 800 years before he was even born, it says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In 1 Peter it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. I deserve to die. I deserve judgment, and Billy Graham deserves hell because I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. And because of sin, there's death. In the third chapter of Genesis, it all started when Adam and Eve broke God's law, and God said, if you break my law, you're going to die. You're going to suffer and die, and man has been suffering and dying ever since. You die physically, every one of us will die physically. This whole audience, less than 50 or 60 years from today, will be gone. You'll all be dead, physically dead. But then there's the spiritual death. Spiritual death means that you can be sitting there alive and feeling good and middle-aged, young, old, but your soul is dead toward God. That's spiritual death. And you're really searching for peace and joy and happiness that you've never found it. You think it's unobtainable. You think it's all right for some people, but it's not for you. It could be yours today before you leave this auditorium by opening your heart to Jesus Christ in a way that you've never done before. Oh, yes, you joined a church once, but somehow it didn't take. And the hardest people in the world to reach, I'm going to tell you who they are. When we go to the Far East or some other countries of the world, we used to have to take, and we still do in some parts of the world, shots to immune you against getting cholera. And you used to have to take 3 shots. And I remember they used to make me sick. Now, the reason that I got sick was because I got a little bit of cholera. And that little bit of cholera kept me from getting the real thing if I were exposed in some Far Eastern country. You can have a little bit of religion, and that keeps you from getting the real thing. And there are thousands of people in my part of the country, in the southern part of America, that have religion just enough to keep them from getting the real thing. They believe in religion, they believe in the church, but they don't really know Christ for themselves. Their names are not written on the book of life. Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you've heard it today, and believeth on him that sent me, that word believe means to put your total commitment in and on, hath sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Isaiah said, you have cast all of my sins behind you. Jeremiah 31 says, I'll remember your sins no more. When you come to Jesus Christ at the cross where he died for you, God cannot even remember your sins. Think of that. God has the capacity to forget. But the thing that these people were interested in, that Paul was talking about, was the resurrection. Not only did he die on the cross and shed his blood for our sins, but he rose again, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now that, of course, to this crowd in Athens was rather foolish. It divided the city, and there were three reactions to it. The same is here today in this audience. First, there was derision. Some of them just laughed and scoffed. Now, what was their problem? For some of them, it was pride. For others, it was some sin they knew that they would have to give up if they ever came to God. You can't come along and drag old evil habits with you and say, Lord, I want to give myself to you, but I want to hold on to these too. You have to give them up. You have to be willing at least, and he will help you to give them up. And then the second group of people was, they delayed. They said, we will hear you again of this matter. But they rarely ever do. And that's a dangerous thing to put it off. If you've heard today, you may not be able to come back this week. This may be your only moment to stand before God and to make a commitment to him. It's dangerous because you may never hear the gospel presented again. Dangerous because if you do hear, your heart may be different. But there were some there that did make a decision. A very few, just a minority. And yet from the standpoint of eternity, only one thing counted, and that was Christ.
Amen. There we go. Mars Hill, Billy Graham Fridays exclusively and only on my station here, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Friends, share that. And we're going to close out, and yes, we've had a Bev Shea song, we've had a Cliff Barrel song, we're going to close it out with Bev Shea, and it is going to be Oh How He Loves You and Me, Oldie But Goodie. Here we go. Amen. Don't you guys feel like that you were at a crusade today? I do. Well, this is CA getting ready to lead off with the prayer. And, you know, I just felt in my heart just like God speaking, saying, thank you, C, for doing, thank you for reaching out. And still, these timeless messages from Billy Graham, we're going to do it as much as we can. And we're going to involve the clan, I should say. And the good clan, which is Cliff Barrels, Billy Graham, and Bev Shea, take you back on memory lane. You won't find any podcast station that does it like I do, friends. And you won't find any radio station that does it either. With the exception of Billy Graham's radio station he has, I believe, if they still have it. And I don't even know if they even play the timeless messages along with the music of the late, not only Billy Graham, but the Bev Shea, or George Beverly Shea. He called him Bev Shea. And Cliff Barrels. So, and you know what I may wind up doing one day for us? Is I think I'm going to wind up doing a combo of Cliff Barrels and Bev Shea. But Bev Shea, he more or less sung it on his own. Cliff Barrels rarely did too much. He was more or less leading the choir. He was the orchestra of the choir. He did an awesome job. But I felt like I was back in church. I don't know about y'all, but I did. And I hope Mars Hills helped you. And you know what? If there's anything I can do here at the radio station, again, go to the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Click on that info message. Send me a message on there, a text message, or call me direct on there, okay, anytime. And Facebook message me too. Be my friend. I'd love that. More the merrier, okay? Let's lead off in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all you do. Father God, I just pray you be with us as we enter into our Friday. Let us have a great Friday. Keep us healthy and safe. And we love you and everything you do. And all God's people said, amen. All right, well, this is CA going to saddle up and leave the tower here at Faith Studio 1. In beautiful downtown Fort Worth, I hope you all have a great day. Be safe and be kind. We'll talk again soon. Bye for now.